What's up, y'all? It's the fourth quarter. It's a new month. And what better way to start it than to come and to join us at EYL University?
Yes, the fourth quarter is where star players make a name for themselves. So come and join the number one roster. EYL University is the biggest platform for business in the universe. We have over 70 past classes, weekly classes. We have a private investment group on Facebook, which gives you access to our movie club, our book club. We also have bi-weekly real estate calls with MG, the mortgage guy, and monthly financial advising calls with none other than yours truly. So head over to EYLUniversity.com right now and enter promo code EYL for 40% off of our annual membership.
That's right. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over. We'll see you on the other side.
Earners, what's up? Look, in the world of personal finance management, finding the right tool is crucial. If you've been relying on Mint to keep your personal finances in check, I got a mix of news for you. Mint is closing down. But here's a silver lining. Monarch Money is stepping up as the go-to financial app, and users, including myself, are making the switch with a smile. Before Monarch, juggling my finances felt like navigating a stormy sea. Other apps either lacked features or were too cumbersome. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design turned financial management from a chore into a breeze. The constant updates, well, that's the cherry on top. But what truly set it apart for me was its collaboration feature. Money matters can strain relationships, but Monarch brings peace to the table. The app's collaboration tools allow my partner and I to seamlessly manage our finances together. We aligned on our budgets, tracked our cash flow, and even planned our future goals all in one place. Speaking of goals, be it saving for a down payment, your dream vacation, or your children's education, Monarch simplifies it all. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal hailed it as the best budgeting app. This isn't just an app. It's the next generation of personal finance management, ad-free, intuitive, and always evolving with you in mind. Now look, Monarch isn't just another app. It's the all-in-one solution, from effortlessly importing your data from Mint to customizing your dashboard to your heart's content. Monarch respects your privacy with a strict no ads, no data selling policy. This is financial management as it should be, focused on you. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Mondays. That's monarchmoney.com/Mondays for your extended 30-day free trial.
What puts me in the mood to dance is a good beat.
That one's not bad.
Nope.
You two, what up?
What's good? What's good?
We back.
We about to get this rocking.
Ernest, let's go. The doors are opening to Earn Your Leisure presents Market Mondays. The doors are open. Let the floodgates in.
We here. Rain, sleet, snow. Holidays. It don't matter. It's never a holiday when you're working.
Happy Labor Day to everyone out there. That is official.
No days off if you're scrambling.
That's a kickoff date for the school year, Labor
Day.
Know
that. That's a fact, man. Shout out to everybody out there all over the world. Market Mondays.
We back. Another
back.
Monday.
Another one. Let's do it.
Everybody hopefully had a great weekend.
Let's get it going. Let's get it going. Shout out to everybody on YouTube. Shout out to all the earners in the building.
Hands is already raised. We haven't said three things. I love it, though. Shout out to YouTube. You got YouTube locking over there?
Yeah, for sure.
Let me get locked in, too.
Yeah, for sure. We here, man. First and foremost, let's pay homage to one of the greatest albums of all time. It was written. You see that right there?
Big fat.
It was written We got the blueprint. Oh,
what boy, Sean.
You made it. Recovery.
Wait, we got the Red Panda mugs now. This, yo, glow up.
I think it was written. It's better than Illmatic. I know everybody in New York gonna kill me, but
nah, he gonna say that. I'm with you on that.
And I'm gonna be honest, Ian. I was like, yo, should I put Illmatic or It Was Written? Because Illmatic is in the centerpiece of my album wall, like right across the room. It's the greatest album of all time.
It Was Written was hard.
Illmatic is the best album in history.
Illmatic is tough. That's a masterpiece.
Better than Life After.
Yeah.
And I'm a diehard Tupac fan.
All right, look.
Life After, I was like, yo, this is going to be the best writer in the last 200 years.
On the album wall, I'm going to tell you the album. So I took down the blueprint. So the blueprint's over there. So my row of five is Cuban Links, the infamous LP, Mobb Deep's album. It Was Written as the centerpiece, Life After Death, and then the blueprint. That would have been that's my five across the wall.
You don't got All Eyes up there.
All Eyes is on the next row.
All Eyes
on the next row. Yeah.
Shout out to Pete Tupac, man. Rest in
every
peace.
Time we come on, we're going to switch the album. So you're going to see, we'll put it up there. You see it.
That's dope.
Yeah.
How y'all feeling? Happy Monday to y'all.
Happy Monday, man.
What's going on with you? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm good other than the little tech issues. But other than that, I'm good.
you know how that goes, man.
They can't
stop. You got to create through it. Yeah,
you gotta hustle through it. Gotta hustle through it.
It's crazy. Absolutely. Zoom been acting crazy over the past couple of weeks. I know, like during our book club, it was kicking people out. During our webinar, we got booted out of our own webinar and came back in. So hopefully, Zoom, with all the money they're making, they can figure this out.
They got a couple of upgrades they need to do.
Just a few.
Yeah,
for sure, man. So yeah, we wanna welcome everybody. I know, obviously, you know, it's a holiday, but. Shout out to everybody on YouTube, but 1,100 people already. If you can hit that like button, so yeah, we're gonna get into it. And you know, hopefully this could be more of we just answer questions and try to just get the vibe. We got a lot of big stuff planned for Market Monday. So first and foremost, we want to thank everybody for your support. Don't forget that Market Mondays is also available on the podcast, all podcast outlets. So subscribe to Apple, Spotify, Market Monday podcast.
Yeah,
comment, rate. Share
five stars,
all that helps. So every time, if y'all want to see it go up to number one, we got to do all those things. Like, that's the process. You got to subscribe, you got to comment, and let's just run it up. And we got some things coming.
Yeah, and everybody that's, you know, a lot of people can't watch YouTube, but they're just not visual people. They want to like listen to it when they're driving or working out. So 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, it will be available on the podcast outlets. So yeah, you know, you get it from every angle. There's no excuse not to learn. Yeah,
I saw some people wondering if we was going to be here. They're like, the market wasn't open. I'm like, yeah, but Thursday and Friday happened.
There's still stuff to talk about. Yeah,
just the consistency, man. Shout out to 85 South Show. Shout out to our boy Chad. And he told me they never missed a day for 5 years
straight.
5 years straight, they never missed a day. They even missed one day in 5 years. So That's great. You know that level. You see that their level of success that they've achieved, and you think it's just comedy. They just telling jokes, but they working, like, you know what I mean? They working. So, you know, we just draw, you know, that work ethic, whether it's Kobe, whether it's Mike, whether it's...
That was crazy.
85
Mayweather,
Mayweather, no matter what, the consistency across the board is that the greats always are consistent and they always work. So,
yeah. I told you, man, Earn Your Leisure is a brand name. You can count on it. You can believe in it.
Absolutely.
That's a fact.
And even real quick, from a business perspective, I think Charlamagne may have a better podcast in Brilliant Idiots, but Button and Maul and Roy are way more consistent. It matters. Like, you know, shout out to Tax. If Tax wouldn't have went away, he would have had all that on Smash too. Like, consistency is a huge thing. And we'll talk about that tonight as well in the market as well.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, we'll get into it. Troy, you want to start with the disclaimer?
Yeah, I know. Y'all know what time it is. So here's how it works, man. EYL is bringing you this message. Do your own research. Our content is intended to be used and must be used for informational purposes only. It is very important to do your own analysis before making any investment based on your own personal circumstances. You should take independent financial advice from a professional in connection with or independently research and verify any information that you may find on our show and wish to rely upon. Whether for the purpose of making an investment decision or otherwise, this is a message from the good folks at Earn Your Leisure and Earn Your Leisure Network.
That's a free research. I put something on Instagram today. It's how I was feeling.
It's a great lesson.
So yeah, you know,
we
got a lot of stuff that we're working on, man. The future looks promising.
Scaling looks likely.
It looks very likely. guidelines. So yes, you know how this works, guys. EYL University, Red Panda, shout out to YouTube, shout out to everybody that's checking us out. Everybody that has Zoom access, if you could ask one question, please one question, and please do not ask individual stock questions. Please ask just general investment questions or strategy questions or things of that nature. Also, Ian, you want to talk a minute about Red Panda? We haven't done that before, but a lot of people might not be familiar with Red. They hear that a lot, but what exactly is Red Panda? I'll let you say it.
Red Panda is my company. So I think it's the easiest way to learn how to invest in the market, whether it's long-term with the stock club or short-term with Apex and Alpha. Because when I got into the space, I saw everyone was talking about investing, but no one had easy answers. I'm like, hey, what should I invest in? They're like, well, it depends. I'm like, that's not a strategy. So we try to take all the complexity out of it and just make it simple. And for those in the stock club, I appreciate you. You guys have done well this year. And kudos to everybody in Apex and Alpha. Y'all been killing. I appreciate y'all. So that's my movement, my brand, my company, my
yo, Ian.
I put the link in the YouTube, so you could check out redpanda.com if you're interested in more information. Join redpanda.com.
Yeah.
So we're gonna kick this off. Oh yeah. Also, so EYL, we got a big week for us. We got tomorrow is our podcast with Jasmine Crow. She's a young lady out of Atlanta who made a business out of taking food from restaurants and businesses that was going to be thrown away, because restaurants and organizations, they throw food away
every day.
It's a whole thing. So she takes the food and then she feeds people in need, homeless people, children, people that are struggling to eat. There's a lot of people in America that do not have enough food to eat. Yeah. 1 out of 5 African Americans and Hispanic people don't have enough food to eat. They're malnourished. Mm-hmm. So that's something that is really dope, because it's a for-profit business. It's what's called a B Corp, which is a for-profit entity, but it's for good. So it's interesting that that'll be out tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
She was actually labeled the number one tech innovator in the city of Atlanta. So most people look like, oh, it's a food business. Yeah, food's part of it, but there's a tech side to it too. So that makes it super incredible, man. She's brilliant. She's a light that everybody needs to check into.
Yeah, and then Wednesday, our EYL University teacher will be Miss Business, our first alumni ever.
Our
tax professional. And our tech, our CPA. She's going to be teaching about how to set up an LLC, the difference between LLC, C Corp, S Corps, B Corp. We'll talk about all that stuff. So a lot of people are asking, like, how you set a business up. That's that. And then I'm taking my calendar off. I decided.
Breaking news alert, y'all.
People know I'm a financial advisor, but I can't facilitate phone calls anymore. So I'm gonna do group Zoom calls with EYL University members only. And we're gonna talk about for like an hour, 2 hours, and we're gonna talk about retirement planning, investing, insurance, business planning, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's no joke.
That's where you can pick my brain. So if you're in EYLU, we'll announce the date for that. If you're not in EYLU, we have a code going, code fall, which is 50% off the membership for the rest of the month. So I'll put that in there. But yeah, one of the new things that we added to EYLU.
That's going to be crazy. Shout out to all the earners that were in Breaking Bread yesterday with Matt. I heard the call was incredible. It was over. You said an hour? It ain't going to be an hour. It was two hours. They just go off, man. So many brilliant ideas and questions and perspectives that happen inside the Breaking Bread section and inside the book club. The earners are incredible, man. Like, so shout out to everyone that's part of that. And we love y'all. And all the new members, make sure that y'all come and join us. Yeah. I know y'all kind of late on the book. We'll announce a new one probably within the next few days. But the Breaking Bread sessions are incredible.
Yeah, shout out to all EYL.
Shout out to MG. Members, that's up, bro.
That's growing at a fast rate. So, Ian, let's get into
Oscar, you there? What's going on, bro?
You.
Yo, you keep changing your pitch up on us, man. What's going on with you?
Yo, I don't know. I guess it's because I have two. Probably I got two different Zoom accounts. That's probably what it is. But what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
We good, man. We good. Just blessed to be here another day. Share this energy, some of this education that we have with y'all, man.
Of course, of course. I just want to say real quick, I appreciate y'all, everything y'all done. Really don't know where I would be at right now. So I have a pretty much a
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A trading question, as in, how can one either how or where to spot liquidity or volatility in the market?
That's a good question. Go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
What do you trade?
I took your advice. I started playing with the ES and the NASDAQ. So I see how they move similar in a way.
Yeah, so only thing you have to do is whatever platform you're on is just turn on the volume bar. So if you're on Ninja, you can turn on the volume and you can literally see how many contracts are traded per day. Or a good piece of advice for everyone, you can also Google ES future, NASDAQ future, and it tells you how many contracts will be traded every single day. But if you're trading a stock, if you're on thinkorswim, you can, under your equities tab, you can see how much volume is there every single day and you'll be fine. Don't trade anything that has low volume because it's a sign that there's not enough interest in it for you to be profitable in it. And your ES trades about 1.5 million contracts a day.
Easy. Yeah. Whew. Oscar, I would say on, even if you have like Yahoo Finance, sometimes when you pick a stock, it'll actually show you the volume. Usually I think, and even in bar chart, it actually does it in green and red. So it lets you know if there's negative, if it's gone down or if it's appreciated in the amount of volume of the trades being made on that stock. So that's another good thing to know.
Major gems. Major gems.
My God.
I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate you, bro.
Rats.
Who's up next?
We got
Marcus.
Yeah, yo, Marcus is the first guy in here, man. Let's go to the guy. Because, you know, he put an honest testimonial inside the investment group about his Tesla trade. And I watched it. I was moved by it because he was brutally honest. And then the next day, Tesla went under. Marcus, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How y'all doing?
We great, man. What's up with you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. So obviously, you know, the market took a major hit. I know for like a lot of y'all, it was like, you know, Black Friday sale. For me, it was Red Rum. Only because I realized that I've been pretty decent at growing my account. Right, but I didn't know how to properly secure my bag, and I want to ask all three of y'all, what is your strategy when a market takes a hit like it did yesterday? Because like I took a major hit for me, at least, you know, I mean, chump change probably a lot of people, but I was very proud of what I grew, and then it just took a hit.
I guess I'll start. So like my strategy is have a strategy first, right? And so when I see a day like Thursday and Friday, I just stick to my plan. Because I know, like, even when we put out these calls, we make them for long term, right? 2 years for every call that we do. We don't like to do short term ones. So even when we place a call, we add a correction into the pricing for our target price. So just stick to the script, man. A lot of people are going to say, yo, it's a sale. And I almost got caught into it. I was like, yo, it's a red day. Let me go get some more. But I already wrote down in my plan what my next target date was to make investments. So I got to stick to that script.
And then Troy, when they called me, they called me on Tuesday.
Yep.
Tuesday was on fire. And then what they say when they called me, they was like, how you feel? What did I say?
Paranoid.
I said, I felt paranoid because I feel like I just kind of felt like the market, I felt stocks was overinflated. I felt tech was definitely overinflated. I just felt like, you know, I mean, it's just common sense, right? Like when something's at an all-time high, it's usually down from there. And it was crazy that the next day it went down. So in hindsight, me personally, I mean, of course, I would have liked to get out of my positions, wait, get back in at a lower price. It's kind of hard to do that. I mean, you know, the easiest thing to do is just to sell. But I mean, to wait. But
yeah.
But like you learn a lot from everything. And I remember we was in crypto, and they were saying like, you know, when crypto went down, the whales, what they call them, like there's only like a few people that hold the majority of Bitcoins in the world. And no matter what the market did, they never lost money because they sold their Bitcoins when it went down, and then they got back in. at the right time. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to predict that. But, you know, if you do, we have some technical issues right now. But next week, if we can do charts and we can show like Bollinger Bet and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And because Ian actually said it to us. Oh, he was like, if y'all was looking at the Bollinger bands, you would have been able to actually predict that this was going to happen. So it's never a bad idea to take profit. Yeah. That's how I look at it. Like, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. But if you up 100%, 80%, 300%, 400%, nobody's going to be mad if you walk away with a profit, wait for things to settle out, and then get back in later, as opposed to just waiting and then it goes back down. Over the course of time, you'll make more money. But I say that to say it depends on your strategy. But if you up a nice percentage, whatever that percentage is, it's never a bad idea to take money. You can never lose money that you didn't make yet.
Yeah, and Ian, I'm gonna let you cap this thing out, but that was part of the conversation we had. Like, I called Ian, I'm like, yo, you did say it. I kind of fell asleep at the wheel. Like, why was I not watching my Bollinger Bands? Why was I not? I was paying attention to the VIX, but I wasn't watching as closely as I should have.
Yeah.
And one of the things we were like, yo, we should sell it. We're gonna sell. But then we thought, like, yo, we got this class coming up on taxes. Like, what's that gonna look like as far as taxes, right? Because that's short-term capital gains on the sales of those calls. So it was like, yo, we gotta take all those things into account. And so I'm saying that so that everybody in this chat right now on YouTube and all our earners, think about all those things, right? Because that's gonna be a hefty tax bill if your gains are pretty high.
Yeah. Ian, what's your thoughts on that?
On the long-term trading side, it's gonna be controversial, but it'll save you from a lot of danger. Your long-term, if you drop hard 5% in one day, you should consider selling if it's money that you need right away. Because the thing that I can realize and recognize in your voice, maybe that was a hit you couldn't afford to take. So long-term 5%, if you have a drop, think about liquidating. On a day trading or short-term side, for my trade, especially if you're on the future side, you don't want to risk more than 1.6% of your account. Because then that way you don't even have to be able to trade well. When you are risking 20% of your account, it's only going to take you 5 trades to be in danger, and maybe 4 if you overtrade and you let it run and some danger can happen. So that's one of the things I want to talk about tonight. But for those of you that use RSI, look how high RSI was. For those of you that use price channels or Keltner channels or bands, look how high we were, and we were pushing through resistance. This isn't a big drop, but because the market had been going up so much, it felt like the roller coaster ride down the hill. It actually wasn't that bad. I would tell you in every trade, know what percentages you're going to get out if you're getting beat up. And that way you can think about it from a logical standpoint and not necessarily an emotional one.
Got you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Marcus.
Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah. Thank you for that testimonial. Shout out to that testimonial the other day, man. That was incredible, man.
Yeah, man. Shout out to everybody on YouTube. 3,000. They can't stop us. No matter what happens, we're going to go with what we got. I never forget my brother. Shout out to Haas. He used to coach. He still does coach. And he had a crazy powerhouse team. Remember, he had a bunch of kids that was like D1 prospects. And they made it to the playoffs in the summer league a few years ago. And like one kid couldn't make it. He was in down south, and like 4 of the kids. So I remember like somebody asked, like, yo, what you going to do? He's like, we're going to go with what we got, man. That's something I never forgot. No matter what, any technical difficulties we have,
we run it.
A holiday, versus battle, we going to war with what we got, man. We're going to go to war with what we got.
And
we're going to make the best out of it, man. So
we got a new super chat.
Let me acknowledge super chats. Shout out to Black Panther on the super chat. Nothing wrong with hedging against your position. Yeah, we can talk about that as well. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. Jamal, $100 super chat. MT the Mortgage got $100 super chat. Appreciate you, bro. Amir on the $50 super chat. And Susie on the super chat. Thank you. All right.
Ash, what's going on? You've been unmuted. Unmute yourself. Hey, go ahead.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for providing value to the culture.
Appreciate you.
Just real quick, I had a question. Do you guys think this is a temporary correction? Do you think it's going to, because I have a call set for March of 2021. So that means I'll be out by December. So I want to know, do you guys think the market will be back up by then?
Can I take this real quick?
Yeah.
The first thing I want you to realize as a trader and investor, you have to have your analysis done before you put your money to the market. Because whenever I have money, I can only speak for me, but all my investors and traders can relate. Once I have a position in, I can't see clearly. So I was going to cover it tonight, but with the uncertainty, the pandemic that is wrecking us, homelessness, Rashad had the comment, which I think is legendary. My mom said, Black people have always been in a recession. So that with Robin Hood and the erratic election and high, and potentially if the mail manipulation, because I don't want to say fraud, manipulation happens, we may not have a president declared until December.
Yeah.
People do not like uncertainty when their money's in the market. This is why when I talk about leadership, and I don't think Obama was probably the best president ever, but one thing he did have down, which was A1, was his leadership ability to keep everybody calm. And that allows people to invest into the market. It's the same thing with hooping. You don't want a volatile player. So that December call is going to be a little bit rocky. November will be rocky. And I was going to touch on it, but ES needs to go to 3140 for Biden to have a chance to win. And if we have two more weeks of a pushback, we could get there. So for all my long-term investors, you are just going to have to ride this out. But if you went through March, April, and May, you already know what the outcome is going to be. Mm-hmm. You may have a two-month push and then go back up. But it's going to be rocking until at least January of next year.
All right. Thank you.
Just being honest with you.
There you have it.
Appreciate you, Ash.
Appreciate you, brother.
Shout out to Ash.
Yeah. You know, that's another thing, too. Trump might, he might not leave.
Yeah.
He might not leave.
Possibility.
Like, I got a strong like feeling like if he loses the election, he gonna pull like, nah, we contesting it.
Yeah.
And then he might just pull a like, the military's gonna have to.
Somebody gotta come get me out. National Guard gotta come.
I'm not leaving.
Yeah. I feel like the last. I feel like the first time we ever voted was that I think it was Bush and Al Gore, and we didn't know who the president was going to be till December, because it was too close to tell. Right. So like. If people want to know what this could look like, go back to 2000, 2001 and see what that looked like. And I actually did that today. Go, that'd be like a little homework for y'all. Go look what the market looked like during that time.
Absolutely. And then also, Democrats don't have as much of a backbone as a Republican, regardless of how you like their political views. They're going to stand up. Trump will fight that. And then if, you know, I mean, I think that Florida election was off by what, 9,000 votes or something like that. So if it's close, like Rashad said, he is going to contest. It can be a very interesting year, to say the least.
So. They said they put the eviction notice up.
Oh man, 2020, it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be right if he did.
It would be the most 2020 thing ever.
Yeah, 2020. Yeah. It's right in line with everything else that's happening. Why not?
At this point.
Yeah, why not?
Gilbert, you've been unmuted. What's going on? Unmute yourself.
Peace, fellas. How y'all doing?
Everything's good. Bro. How are you?
How are you?
I'm cool. I have a quick question. I'm more so towards Ian. What are your thoughts on putting puts on the VIX? Because I was having this discussion, and VIX was at like 32 last week, and we were thinking about putting puts for like November in case it went back down, but I just wasn't sure. So.
I'm not an options master, but I will tell you if you're going to do the puts, they need to run until at least March.
Okay.
Because November, we don't know what the outcome is going to be. Me personally, when I invest, I want to shoot fish in a barrel. I don't want any competition. I want a monopoly. So that's why even when I lean on Apple and Microsoft, it's because I don't ever have to wake up and wonder, will that business fall apart versus Hertz, Genius. You know, we've been through this dialogue before. United, JetBlue, they're having competition. And then like also there's no demand there. So it's a good strategy. You also have to know at what point, if you are a chartist, you need to look and see at what point historically over a 15-year period does the VIX fall down. If you don't know that, you're guessing, but go pull up a 15-year chart and mark off the highs. It's one of my favorite exercises because anytime it breaks above 45 or 50, it slides down. You need to know how long it takes to do that, though.
Ian, can you just briefly explain what the VIX is for anybody that might be not familiar with the VIX is?
In the simplest terms, VIX is the, oh my God, everything is going wrong index. So the VIX goes opposite of our market. So the higher the VIX, the higher the fear is in the market. So in March, we were like in the 80s.
Yeah, 85.
So anytime we get that high, it means that the world is pretty much burning financially. So yeah. It's a, think of it as like a fire alarm or ambulance going around and telling us, hey, things are not going good with the economy right now. And even though we've recovered a lot, the actual economy is still in a recession. Don't let those job numbers fool you. So you guys can go look at the VIX, the volatility index, and it will give you a gauge.
Yeah. And here's a tip too. If anybody has an iPhone, which everybody should have an iPhone, they have the stock app. So the stock app is on the home screen and it has all of these indexes. It has the Dow Jones, the S&P 500. You could put individual stocks up there. So what I have on my stock app, Dow Jones, S&P, NASDAQ, and VIX, those are the first four things that I have on my stock. So when I'm looking at it, I look at the Dow Jones, I look at the S&P, I look at the NASDAQ, and then right underneath that is the VIX. So if you're looking at the VIX and you see the VIX is going up, the storm is coming.
Winter is coming.
Storm is coming.
Yeah. So like I've been studying it for the past 2 weeks. So like if you study it for the past maybe 18 months, you'll notice that there's an area where there's stability, right? And that's usually in the teens. So like if you look at it and it's like between 10 to like 17, 18, yep. it's in a good spot.
Everything is calm.
Now in the summer, we were watching it and shout out to the Dark Knight. He was like, you're just keeping an eye on it. I'm like, what's the number I should be looking at? He said 25. And so I watched it go to 25, but I also watched my gains. I'm like, And then I saw it go to 30. I'm like, oh, we in trouble. Yep. And then obviously Thursday and Friday happened. I'm like, yeah, the VIX went up to 35. So that's a great indicator to watch, y'all.
Yeah.
We can do a hot take and be like, it's the most important indicator that you must watch for the economy, right? But if you don't want to guess if the market is doing good or bad, you guys need to go look at the VIX. If it ever gets to 50, that's when you really need to start loading the boat up on stocks. You're going to get beat up for a month, but it's going to turn around. And then, because it does literally the opposite of one another. The bond market we explained last week has been going up. Gold has been going up. Silver has been going up with all the indexes. The VIX is the only hedge that you do truly have in the market. For those of you asking about UVXY or any synthetic derivatives that are triple fast or moves three times the speed, you can only have those in your account maybe 5 to 7 days. And if you have any regular VIX, I will only make that maybe 2.5 or maybe 3% of your account, because for the most part, you're going to get beat up. But you can go to a calculator, an asset allocation allocator, and a calculator and see how well it would do over a 5 or 10 year period. But do not do 50% VIX, 50% indexes, because we did not tell you to do that.
No, please, no one has said that.
Oh, shout out to Black. Oh, I didn't know who Black Panther was, but I guess Black Panther, Dark Knight is no longer in existence.
Uh-oh.
And he's transformed in the form of Black Panther.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever.
Yeah, shout out to
Black Panther.
Otis, we coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. What's going on?
Hello.
What's up, Otis?
What's up, bro?
How are you?
Yo, this is crazy. I am a brand new EYL member. I just got my membership like a couple weeks ago.
Welcome.
I just want to say thank you to y'all, man. Y'all really changed the game. I've been watching CNBC every morning and stuff, but they're not breaking it down like you break it down. You feel me?
Appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
I had a question because I'm looking at ArcW, and I'm just waiting to get that when I get the right funds and when the market settles out and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking at the next possible dip that can happen. And I was looking at it, I was like, I really don't see tech. Of course, they're not going to make the big moves that they made, but I still see tech being a leader when it comes to the different sectors. And I was wondering how you guys felt about that.
That's a good question. I'm going to let Ian definitely answer that. But I mean, that's a good question. I've been going back and forth with Mark about this. I personally feel that tech is overinflated. Now, not to say that it's still not value, because obviously tech is the most important thing in this economy. But I just feel like I told Troy, like Zoom, I don't necessarily know if Zoom stock deserved to go up 400% this year or whatever. It went up crazy. Like, not to say that it's still valuable. It's still a good company. Like Elon Musk, people say, like, you know, when he said that the stock was too valuable or it was too high, that he was just doing that to manipulate things. Maybe, maybe not, but it definitely cooled off a lot this week. So, you know, I personally do think that tech is overinflated at this point. Just because something's overinflated doesn't mean it's not valuable, though. It just it's just overpriced. So it has to come down. It has to contract. When you see the NASDAQ at all-time highs and we're still in a global recession.
Are we frozen? Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you now.
That's weird. Okay, yeah. So what Rashad was saying, since we're at all-time highs, this is one thing I want you guys to keep in perspective. We talked about it last week. Do not buy the high. Do not buy the high. So, like, let's go back to the hoop analogy. If you see me in a park, and 2 weekends in a row, I put up 65. How long do you think I can keep that up?
Not
very long. Not long. So it's the same thing. Zoom is incredibly valuable. So if you guys go look, I want you to Google, and it's going to take you a while to find it, but find out how many corporations are paying Zoom $100,000 or more. And that'll tell you some of the reasons, because everyone's looking at the free plan and the 1999 plan, but the enterprise is where they're making a lot of money. So I would say tech is really high right now. We are going to have a pullback. When we have a pullback, I want you to execute. I had a tech issue today with my laptop dying, so that's why I'm not sharing my charts. But next week, we'll go over how to read a chart, and then you'll be able to pinpoint where to buy. But when it's at all-time highs, don't chase it. Don't buy. Please don't.
You see what Zoom tried to do right there, Ian?
Did you hear us talking about Zoom?
No.
But Ian.
You picked up?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna give
them a quick 16. That's what I'm saying, man. All the money they making, they kicking us out of our own joint.
We threw Zoom under the bus, man. I was telling Troy, like, yo, it's time to use a different platform, man. Like, I thought it ended the meeting because we had an issue with Zoom a few days ago. So I'm like, yo, there's other platforms, man. Like,
it wasn't me this time.
Nah, it was definitely Zoom. I'm looking like, yo, did they just kick us out of our own joint?
Nah, we was having a whole conversation about Zoom.
You did a whole speech.
Nah, we did it like we talked for like 3 minutes. I'm like, yo, you can't use Zoom no more. Like, da-da-da-da. Like, if this is going to be an issue, like.
Yo, they kicked us out. Nah, but.
They have the hiccups as well.
That is also true.
Otis, thank you, guys. I really, really appreciate you guys, man.
Appreciate you. I love tech, Otis. That's what I was saying. I love tech. It goes across multiple sectors. And I was even having this conversation with my brother the other day as far as tech. He was looking at the Domino's. And I was like, it's not really a food company. If you think about it, it's really a tech company. All the technology that they've added to their company. So yeah. I love tech. I love ARKW. If you, like I said, if you looked inside of their holdings, man, there are some companies there that you will know very well that are not going anywhere. So shout out to you for picking that up.
Thanks, man.
Top
Thanks.
Three categories, if you guys are looking to invest in, index funds first. We are here for safety. Index funds first, technology second. Third, I think we all can agree. Consumer discretionary. Everything else is getting beat up. You can make an argument that financials are may have a little bump, but it's like on average, financials only go up 10 to maybe 12%. I think Jamie Dimon is an incredible CEO, but he's still limited. I like PayPal and Square better. So if you follow those three, you guys would be good. But this is a game of patience. Everyone wanted a dip 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we got the dip and now everyone's afraid. We have to decide. Like, are you going to enjoy the dip and load the boat, or are you going to chase it all time high and be like the Robin Hood traders? I want load you guys to be good.
You know, it's
obvious now.
Somebody said that you should merch that. Load the boat.
I got somebody on here I got to talk to about that. I'm going to hit you tonight.
Yeah. Load the boat.
We know some guys that know something
it's
about
become,
merch.
It's become a very popular. Because somebody was, they was telling me, they was like, yo, load the boat. I'm like, load the boat? Like, what? Like, where are you? They like. Yeah, I watch Market Mondays. They like, yo, tell him he should put that on his T-shirt. Like,
Jack is so, they jacking it.
Yeah. Load the boat is becoming very popular.
Yeah. Load the boat, that's yours. We're not even gonna claim that's yours. That's all yours. Load the boat. Shout out to all my pandemic people out there. They went crazy and everybody.
That's hard.
Don't worry. We got something for that. It's on the way, people. All right, Kevin, what's going on? You've been unmuted.
Hello, how you doing, fellas?
We good, bro.
Good. How you doing? I actually didn't even know I was about to get unmuted, but all right. So basically, me and my girlfriend, we just joined the course not too long ago. And we, you know, we really appreciate the content you guys putting out there. So shout out to you guys.
But I appreciate you.
I have a question for Ian, and it's okay. Regarding stocks, because I've been, you know, I read a couple books here and there, you know, and I read The Intelligent Investor. Mm-hmm. In it, he talks about the margin of safety. So if you could just like discuss that a little bit, if you can.
All my red panda students know what I'm going to do. I want you to tell me what you learned about it, and then I'll help sprinkle some sauce.
Listen, I'll be honest with you. I didn't really understand that like too much. So I don't really have much to tell you. Like I know, for example, you know, Warren Buffett, he always talks about how if you could understand chapter 8 and chapter 20 from The Intelligent Investor, you know, that you would get something big off of that book, you know? So I know, like, for example, the analogy of Mr. Market, you know, when it comes to margin of safety, I don't really have too much knowledge on that.
What I want you to do is come back next week. I want you to go through it a couple of times. And also, I want you, if you have Telegram, my username is Red Panda Ian. But the reason I do it this way, because I want you to be able to internalize it for yourself. So if anything ever happens to us, God forbid, you are able to dictate your own path. I'm not trying to dismiss the question, because anybody who's a Red Panda, I do this with them every day. But as far as margin of safety, I want to give you the answer, but I want you to go back and at least highlight where you're stuck. And then next week we can come back and have a more detailed discussion about it. Don't feel bad though. That book is a tough read. So if it's one of your first ones, don't feel bad at all. Just come back and I'll be able to guide you through. But I need you to read it maybe two or three more times so you can internalize it.
Sounds good, boss. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, Kev.
Appreciate you. Can we talk about Tesla real quick?
Absolutely.
Tesla. I put it on Instagram today that Elon Musk is rumors that's been swirling around for a while now. It's like the worst kept secret that they are rolling out their 1,000,000-mile battery on September 22nd. So that's
after witching.
Yeah, after the 18th.
Yeah. So 1,000,000-mile battery. So you know, a lot of people are very excited about that, obviously, for a variety of different reasons. So, but, you know, it's more than just that it's going to be more than probably just that. Like, you know, I was talking to Mark today, shout out to Mark, and he was saying, like, you know, at the press conference, or they're going to talk more probably about autonomous driving.
I was just going to say that.
Robo taxis, you know, all of that plays a part, self-driving cars, things of that nature. So it's like, all right, the 1,000,000-mile battery is not really that, like, crazy, because it's they're almost there now, and it's like it's already kind of expected. It's not really going to change, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but full, I think self-driving technology, and we have to talk about self-driving technology at some point on this show, because we actually did a podcast about this last year with Waymo.
Mm-hmm.
So Waymo is Google's self-driving car technology, and Uber sued Google because they actually took their technology. Uber was working on it first. And then Waymo, Google actually recruited, this is like some real espionage. They recruited Uber's top. So what happened is that the CEO of Uber and Google became really good friends. And the whole time they was planning on taking their technology. So they recruited their top engineers over to Google. And then they started a side company called Waymo, which is Google's self-driving car technology. A lot of people don't even know Google had a self-driving car technology company. And now Google actually sued them and they won. Well, they settled out of court for like a lot of money. But self-driving car technology is real. It's not something that is like, they already have the technology now. It's just not legal. They got to pass it. But I think this is something that people need to pay attention to. It's not like a fantasy movie. It's not the Jetsons. Like, very soon we're going to be having cars that drive themselves.
Yeah.
And very soon we're not going to be driving cars no more.
Yeah, that's why I said it's going to be more than just the car that parks itself. It's going to be the car that picks you up from your house, drops you off, goes back home, and you order it to come back to come get you. Like, really the Jetsons.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Spacey Sprockets for all my 80s babies.
So yeah, how do you feel about that? Ian, Tesla, the 22nd, the 1,000,000-mile battery, how you feel about all that?
You know, I love Tesla. Do you think that they're actually going to hit the number, or do you think it'll be like 985,000 miles?
I think it's going to be 1.2 million.
I think he's going to over exceed.
He's going to over. You know, over? Eli. Oh, he always over. He's going over 1.2.
That's true.
I read something actually where it said it's going to be. It's actually 1.2 million miles.
If they can deliver that, and I've already said this before, Tesla has no competition. You may have other electronic vehicle makers, but you guys got to realize that in Washington, also, they're doing all right in solar. But just from a brand perspective, the brand is worth more than everyone else in the space combined. But if they hit 1.2 and have any other rollouts, I mean, my target for Tesla is still a grand. Like, they have a lot of room to go. I always said he is this generation Steve Jobs. That million mile battery is kind of like when iPad had the 100,000 songs in your pocket. So I'm seeing like the same monikers and the same kind of structure lining up. I think they have a very good chance. And I think they'll probably be one of the most dominant companies of this decade.
And yeah. I just want to say one last thing before we go back to the question. So I already know the question is going to be, should we buy calls on Tesla leading up to September 22nd? Because people will be excited. The thing about it, and one of the my favorite quotes of all time from our podcast was Big Business, when he said he was talking about real estate, and he was talking about a lot of people that's buying real estate, and they're taking equity out the homes, and they're using that equity to buy other homes. And his whole thing was, for every four houses that you do that, you need to pay a house off in full, because you're over leveraging yourself. And his thing is like, it's not even so much as what if the real estate market goes bad? What if the economy goes bad? He said that in February before Corona. Like, what if the economy tanks? So the problem with all these short-term option plays is that even if you put together the best strategy and you're going off of good news and charts look good, what if the economy tanks? Like, what if the economy falls apart, right? So that's why it's like, you have to be very careful with the short-term option plays just based off of good news, because A, it's still a guessing game, because what if they come out and it's only 700,000 miles? Or what if it doesn't? You know what I'm saying? Now you're screwed. It's the same thing with people playing earning calls. And then B, it's like with the short-term option plays or just short-term investing period, you have to take that in case, like, what if the economy falls apart? Everything could be going good. If we get something like what happened in March, it doesn't matter. Everything is going to go down regardless. So it's just something, not to say that you can't make money in short-term options. You can definitely make a lot of money in short-term option plays, but just be careful.
Be very careful.
The thing that you need the most is time. You guys are trying to get in for a week or two. And the calls are expensive. The stock is expensive, but it's like, if you're trying to make a good move and you don't have pre-existing discipline there, you're not going to hit a home run doing that. Like, leave earnings alone. Because like, even Apple fell a lot from Thursday and Friday. Did the value of Apple drop? Did the sales drop? No. Just the economy has not recovered yet. And a lot of you complain about the dollar falling and quantitative easing. We would be in the walking dead if they didn't print that money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we would have been in full, like, you guys think it's bad now. If they let that fall to 15,000 where it was supposed to go, it would have been hell on earth. So, and now we robbed Peter to pay Paul for so long, we have to keep it. Like, kind of like when certain record labels is buying albums and saying artists is going, you know, selling 250,000 the first week, and then no one was playing the album out on the streets back in the day. It's the same thing, but they have to continue to print that money in order to give us some leeway for people to want to put their money in the, because if the engine that is the market stops, we're going to go to utter devastation. And we don't want that. So please be careful with any short-term investments and just hold them for long.
Yeah, shout out to, I forget who it was in the investment group. He had put up a graphic of all these calls that had just gone bad. They were all red. And they posed a question like, what's wrong with this picture? And every one of them was a short-term call. So that's why we said, man, always give yourself time. Always give yourself time. Please give yourself time. Especially a lot of us are new in this options game. Doing these short-term ones, it can hurt. It can hurt when it goes bad.
SoftBank got drugged the other day.
Yo, crazy.
Because the son is trading, and he's in calls, and they're good. But when the market fell, they hadn't capitalized. So
41 million he lost, right? 41 million.
Down 7%. This is why I tell you guys, you have to know what your percentage is. When you get to this mark, I have to take profit. When Rashad was like, hey, nothing wrong with taking profit, I'm like, that comes from experience. That comes from having a loss. Like, it may not seem like, and I know you guys are seeing people making 200-300%, but they're not telling you when they're drawing down 80% either. If you can consistently hit between 25% and 50%, you're killing the market. Be patient. Please be patient.
Yeah, that's a fact. Shout out to Jay Bass. on a super chat. He said, shout out to the It Was Written Vinyl in the back and a blueprint one too.
That's a fact.
Of course, man. You know, those dudes raise us. So we always gonna pay homage.
Well, which album is better?
I mean, for me, you gotta realize, you know, coming from New York,
we gotta do
when,
that live.
When I was 12 years old, I never forget, when I was 12 years old, UDC, you remember UDC?
Yeah.
UDC was a tournament in the Bronx. It was in the Bronx.
Bronx Avenue, 217.
Uptown. And I never forget, I was playing, I was 12, and I heard the songs. I can't even say because it's cursing, but I heard it and it's just like I never heard nobody rap like that. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like that's like the first album like I really like brought like paid attention to. So it's like I feel like the kids listening now, like they're growing up on drill music, like, you know what I mean? Like we grew up on like Jay, Nas, Big. So just that level of sophistication that Nas was talking about at 24 years old, like he was just different. So for me personally, I'm gonna say It Was Written because that just changed my life. Like that album changed my life. But that Blueprint classic, that Blueprint is definitely a classic. So, you know, shout out to Jay, man.
Yeah, y'all not gonna get me on this. Jay's our guy. Jay's my guy. I've said it. Nas is my guy. He's the first artist I wanted to be like. You know, like it wasn't Michael Jackson, it was Nas. Like that's what I wanted to be like. So Illmatic obviously is the greatest one, but that blueprint is special.
Man.
The Blueprint is special. And Jay's our guy. I told they say when we gonna stop talking about him. I said till he's sitting right next to us. So we're gonna keep saying his name until he's sitting next to us. And y'all gonna help us get to him too. So that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Sure. All right, let's go back. Let's go back. Kamara, I hope I said that right. I've been 2 weeks straight. I ain't botching no names. Let's see if I get this one right. Did I say it right?
Yes, you said Kamara.
Oh, yeah, 3 weeks in
a row. You got it right.
How are you?
What's up?
Hi, how are y'all doing? I just want to say I'm so excited to finally get through. You guys are amazing. My wife and I join your club. I'm so excited. But I want to learn more. So we invested in Apple and we invested in Tesla last week when they did the split, and we're continue to load the boat and dump money in every week. Thank you so much, Ian. But I really want to get into the trading and futures. I'm trying to build generational wealth, financial freedom for my family. Unfortunately, COVID, I lost my oldest sister. So I'm now the matriarch of the family, and I have her 3 kids and her 6 grandchildren, and my stepsons that I have to look out for. So I need some like real simple basic steps. How do you get started in trading? You know, like a step one, just a simple, this is step one. You do this, you go there. So that's my question, and I'm going to stop talking. And thank you for all that.
Thank you.
Now, blessings.
Bless both of y'all.
Blessings to you. My condolences for the loss of your sister, for sure.
That's heartbreaking. I'm sorry about that. This year has been tough. So, yeah, my condolences on that. As far as the futures trading, we would have talked about it today if my slides and all that would have worked, but Murphy's Law, we'll announce it next week. We'll probably drop the affordable futures trading program next week. But one thing you can do is just go to ninjatrader.com, download their platform. But the most important thing for all of you who want to learn how to invest, download a demo account and you can start practicing. Because until you begin practicing, because you have to really see if you have the discipline and most importantly, the passion for this. A lot of people want to trade for money, but you have to love this like a sport. So I would go to ninjatrader.com, download NinjaTrader 8. There's a free setup that I have out there called the Sniper Setup that I can give you. And then begin practicing every single day. I will tell you, if you can get this down in 6 months to a year, the money issues that you may have, and because of course, I've always said it, when Black people get hurt, we have to take care of so many people, but if you can get this down, you'll be able to take care of them easily for the rest of your life. Of course, it has risks. You have to be patient, but that would be my advice to you is just start. Anybody who wants to learn how to trade anything, just go start trading. It's like, it's kind of like, and I'm not saying this to you, but for everyone else, and those of you on YouTube, it's like saying, I want to play Call of Duty, but you never turn on your PS4. It's like, either you want to play the game or not. So like, just start tonight, practice every day, and you guys will be good.
Kamar, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Can you text me your email address in the chat so I can get it?
I will do. I will.
All right,
do.
Perfect. Just send it right to me, right to panelists.
So okay, yep. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Have a blessed
night.
Appreciate
you. Bless you. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes,
yeah, we're gonna take care of you. I'm gonna put you in one of our programs for free.
Boss, what's going on? Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted.
There he goes. We see you.
We see you now.
Now you gotta unmute yourself. Oh
man, he have a technical difficulty. Don't do that.
I'm here. You hear me?
Oh, now quick question: is that a Mets jacket or is that a Knicks jacket?
That's a orange and blue crew / Knicks type of jacket.
All right,
type of jacket.
He's a Knicks fan. Okay.
No, it's just
not
a color.
A Knicks fan, dog.
Oh, all right, perfect.
It's
okay.
Just, it's just a color. What's on? What's going on, bro?
Hey, I'm doing well. I had my 11-year-old son with me. He actually had a question, but he was too scared to jump on. I'm trying to get him to teach him about stocks and trading, long-term investing, and all that stuff, teaching him about money, basic steps. No. So I try to get him to ask a question, but he wanted to know for me to ask. He's like, oh, how can thinking about long term, I also lost my mom this year.
Wow.
So I definitely set up a will for myself and trying to leave them some money, and also for my daughter too. She's only 8. So just thinking about wills, and they have their own money, and I set up through TD Ameritrade, their own accounts. I set that up this year. So I've been trading, and I was excited about the stock split. So definitely was Apple, and finally got a Tesla, and he was excited that I got a Tesla. He got a Tesla stock, and also my daughter as well. So just thinking long term, and like I said, I'm starting off from basics, just thinking about what I should continue to do for them to build generational wealth, not only for me in the short term with those stocks, but also long term for them.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to your son for even, being enthusiastic about investing at such a young age. Mm-hmm. He's going to be, a monster when he gets older, for sure. Shout out to him. But I think your question was like, what can you do to further invest for your children? So, you're on the right path as far as we talked about it a few times, but, a UTMA account, a UTMA account, which is a custodial account that you can set up through TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, any type of brokerage account like that. And you can invest just how you invest for yourself, but you can invest for your children. So, you can invest in stocks, you can invest in ETFs, you can invest in index funds. And then, when they reach legal age, then, they have control over it. But until then, you can invest under the custodian for benefit of them. And then, of course, the 529 plan is a way to save for education. So if you're interested in saving money for their education, then the 529 plan, each state has its own 529 plan, depending on which state you live in. You can also get a state tax deduction.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people aren't aware of that. You can get a state tax deduction for the 529 plan. So, and then life insurance. We got a whole situation.
We got something brewing
for family planning, because it's a lot, even talking about like different trusts. Like people talk about trust a lot, but we can have a whole hour conversation of like what's the right trust to set up and how to go about that, and how to properly set up a will, things of that nature. So those are just a few tips, like I said, without even going to because we can really talk about that all day, but we're going to do something special.
We got something special coming.
Yeah, just for that. But you're on the right track. Continue to save, continue to invest, index investing, ETF investing, stock investing. Ian, you want to add anything to that?
No, the only thing I was going to touch on, everyone was talking about it in Zoom, was life insurance. It's probably one of the safest. But when you guys get life insurance, so we'll talk about the good side of it. So the good side is the money is guaranteed. The ugly side that people don't tell you about, especially for those of us that are African-American or Latino, you have to check on your policy. Please. You have to have your paperwork set up. So if you pass, we don't have to go in the shoebox, right, or look in the drawer. Because insurance companies are also betting that we won't have all of our paperwork and won't have these conversations in public and in private with our family members. So I've even been in situations with family members when I was owed certain things And because certain paperwork was not taken care of, the payouts were different. Mm-hmm. So stay on top of that. Like, and same thing for my business owners. I tell you, check your accounts every day. Because even the banks will try and give it over on you. Check your balances. So every 3 months, I will call and check on your policy. Don't just wait until you pass to be like, hey, grandma says she had a $250,000 policy. Now it's like, hey, we just have enough to cover the funeral. Because it can cause a lot of drama inside of our families. So check on that. But life insurance is one of the best things that you can do for your children. And it's relatively cheap.
And please, please, please. And I think Shadi told his story. Update your policy as your life proceeds, right? So like when I started, I had no kids. I had no wife. I think my brother was my beneficiary, my parents. Obviously, as I've grown, I have a wife. I have two kids. Beneficiaries have changed. I think you told a story where somebody remarried and forgot that.
Yeah, never changed the beneficiary.
Never changed the beneficiary. So the ex-wife.
The ex-wife got it. Yeah, change the benefit. Keep your beneficiaries up to date.
Please update your policies. Thank you. Boss, we appreciate you, bro.
Thank you, guys. That's why I call you guys the Dream Team 92. Thank you, guys.
I appreciate it. You're doing a great job.
And you are earning, man. You're taking all the right
stuff. I want to just say something. I saw something on YouTube. So Earn Your Leisure, we never, our platform isn't built on gossip or, you know, tearing somebody down or whatever. Like, our platform is designed for information. I think that's a problem in our community a lot of times. Like, we love gossip. We love negative things. Like, in my opinion, we focus too much on negative energy. And it's like, we got to be careful about joking about situations, about people's downfalls or people losing money. Like, to me, that's never really funny. Like, you know what I mean? Because you got to really be careful about what you find humor in, because you put that energy out there and it's going to come back to you. So I don't want to talk too much about that situation, but I would say that people should probably focus more on getting their finances straight, worrying about themselves. I think a lot of times in our community, we worry about other people, everything else that has nothing to do with ourselves. And then we stuck in the same spot for generations. And then we wonder why we can't make any improvement. Like, it's an unfortunate situation, but a lot of times people really don't know how to actually get their own finances or their own personal family situation straight. They want to worry about what everybody else is going on. Like me personally, I don't worry about gossip. Yeah. I don't worry about what anybody else is going on. Cause at the end of the day, nobody's going to feed my son except for me. So I think that, you know, we don't want to put too much time into negative energy, but I think that, you know, it's important to keep that in mind.
Never cut that man's pocket thinking you deserve it.
That's a fact.
That's a fact. Andrew, we coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. What's up?
We are all one tragedy away from being in a bad spot.
Andrew, what's going on?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Oh, I'm so excited. I didn't think I was going to get in today.
Yeah, where you calling from?
Boston. I just joined AYL, I think, a week ago.
Welcome to the family. Welcome. Can we get some our crowns up in the chats for him? Welcome, kid.
Welcome, welcome. How you doing?
Throw them caps up. What's going on?
First of all, thank you guys for this, for giving out this information. I'm African, obviously. I knew about the stocks, but I thought it was just for the rich until I guess COVID had to wake me up. Now I'm probably the first person to invest in the stocks in my entire family lineage from thousands of years ago. But anyway,
that's amazing.
That's
incredible.
Yes. So I just have what are the guidelines? Can I ask one question or two questions?
One question.
Okay. I'll keep the next question maybe for next week. All right. So I'm using Robinhood. I have a few shares in Apple and Tesla and a few other companies. But then I started doing options on Robinhood. So my question is about the taxes, because so many people are talking about switching to E-Trade and talking about like if you sell your options, if you make some money, the capital gains tax. And, you know, so I was wondering what's the best scenario to avoid the 20% tax. And if I don't withdraw the money from the account, is it counted as earnings? I mean, and then the three accounts in E-Trade. So it's been confusing for me what's the best strategy to encounter Uncle Sam, because I'm not trying to sell my options, be under pressure, and then Uncle Sam wants to take everything. You know what I mean? So what advice do you have for me in terms of taxes and dealing with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. We talked about that recently. We talked about that a lot, especially with the, you know, short-term plays, options, stuff like that. You got to take that in consideration. If you sell something before a day, a year and a day, it's short-term capital gains tax. If you keep it for over a year, then it's long-term capital gains tax. We can save you like 10 to 15%, depending on which tax bracket you're in. So the first thing is that if you don't have money saved for your retirement, or you want to save money for your retirement, you can always invest inside of an IRA. That helps out. There's limits to how much you can actually put into the IRA, but that's an option, that you can put money into an IRA, and no matter, you know, how much trades you make throughout the course of the year, you're not going to be taxed as long as you actually keep it inside of the IRA and you don't take it out. Other than that, I mean, you really have to think about, is it worth it? Like, is it worth, you know, taking money out of the short-term play right now, or does it just make sense to hold it over the course of a year? That's really an individual situation, but you got to take that into consideration. A lot of times, people that's day trading or people doing short-term option trades, that's not really talked about enough either. Mm-hmm. It's like, what about options? Especially you start to really have a lot of money in these situations. It's like that 10%, that 15% difference is a lot of money. Right. So that's something that's not really talked about enough either. It's like, it's all good while
that tax bill coming.
You get that 1099 at the end, and you don't even realize how much money you actually made. And it's like, damn, I just made $87,000 that I got to pay taxes on because I sold it. And it's like 35% capital gains tax for short term.
Ooh, that's hefty.
You already spent the money. So
money gone.
But consult a tax advisor, consult a CPA. I think everybody should have a CPA, and ask them questions. We've talked about it before. We definitely going to bring a tax professional on to give some legal tax advice, because we're not tax advisors. But that's something that's not
talked about.
Well, this Wednesday, Miss Business is going to do it for EYL University. Yeah, that's a fact. But that's something that's not talked about enough either. And I think that's something that's very important, because people's looking like how much money they make, but it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep.
Sneaking it in.
Andrew.
I'm not mad at you for trying, though. I'm not mad at you for trying.
I just didn't get that clarification I was looking for. That's why I wanted to kind of switch it up. But it's the simple question.
Okay. So okay. I'll say this. Consultant advisor, one. Number two, if you're new, ease up on the options, because you're going to get taxed more. And no, I always say, no matter how much money you make from trading, you would be better off holding it for 5 or 10 years, because you're going to have more money in a 10-year aggregate than you are in a 30-day or 6-month. Cycle. Okay. And it's also going to lower your tax bill. If you're going to continue to trade, I need you to write down the number of trades you're going to take per year, and do not trade out of the same long-term account. And you don't want to trade out of that at the same time, because those have to be two separate accounts. But go talk to an advisor. It may cost you maybe $200 to get a consult with him or her, and they'll be able to give you some guidance there on what to do. So I'm not trying to dismiss you, but you'll save a lot of money if you limit the number of trades you take on the option side, especially if you're not incredibly proficient, and put it into long-term investing first, and you'll be good. And Derek, yes, the slides that I did not get to do this week, I will do next week.
Don't worry about it. We got you. Andrew, we appreciate you.
Appreciate you, brother.
Wednesday, tune into the class, man. Definitely be here Wednesday. It's going to be a big one. All right?
Is it on YouTube or?
It's exclusively for you.
We'll put the link. Are you?
Yeah, he's a member.
Yeah, yeah. But you get emailed the link, and join the Facebook group if you're not in Facebook group.
I did. Okay, thank you.
All right. We'll see you on the other side, bro. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks.
Shout out to Beantown. Yo, YouTube.
Shout out to YouTube.
Guidelines.
Man.
Guidelines.
We holding strong. 3,800. That's a very impressive feat.
I love y'all.
For all of the difficulties that we had, the holiday. This is very impressive.
Yeah.
Very, very impressive.
Regina, what's going on? Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted.
Hello. Thank you. I have a question. It was sort of along the lines of what the guy in front of you just said, but I just want clarification around if you sell a stock, but you don't take the profit and take it into your you know, your regular in and out account, but you use it toward another stock or something like that. Are you still taxed for short-term capital gains or are you not?
Yeah, yes, that's a good question. Yes, you are. If it's in an IRA, no. If it's in a regular brokerage, non-retirement brokerage account, so if you have Apple and you sell Apple and it's in Fidelity and then it automatically goes into the money market account and then you buy Google next week, so you never put the money in your bank account, you still sold it. So it doesn't matter. It's not like, all right, it hasn't left Fidelity, so I'm not going to get taxed on it. If you sell the position, you're going to pay tax on it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Regina.
No problem. I think she might be new, huh?
Yeah, she might be. I've never seen her name. Welcome. 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 Let's get a new, let's see. Brave Money. Let's see what that is. Brave Money, unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. What's going on?
Yo, what up, fellas?
Everything good?
Hey,
how you doing?
Yeah. Got a quick question. This one probably going to go, what's for anybody, but I'm guessing it will go to Ian. Like, I'm hearing a lot of talk about correction. What happened Thursday, Friday was due to a correction. And I think it would be real beneficial to everybody listening if you could go into the anatomy of what a correction is, specifically because what I heard Wednesday night, Thursday morning, is that like a NASDAQ whale like took profit or shorted or did something, and that triggered like an avalanche in the market. So if you could go into the anatomy of what is actually taking place that kind of trickles that off.
You from DMV?
Yeah, from DC.
Yeah, I knew it. I could tell by that.
You got the swag, right? Yeah.
By the accent. But yeah, that's a good question. Ian, you want to tackle that?
Yeah, everyone can write this down. 5% drop, 1-5% is a pullback. 10-19% is correction, 20% plus, and if the economy contracts for 2 quarters in a row, that is a crash. So 1-5% is a pullback. So if I score 58 in the United Center, and then I score 59 the next game, then 63, but my average is 28, at some point, I'm going to come down to my median. So 1-5% is a pullback. 10% to 19% is a correction. And we have some correcting to do, but it's more of the, so now look at it like, and kudos to Michael Batnick because he put this out last week, but like, you have to realize like we're having the civil unrest of the 1960s. We're having a global pandemic, which is kicking our ass because we didn't do what we needed to do to help protect the country at scale. Then we're also having an influx of retail traders, which the industry wanted. This is the part that no one says about investing. 3 years ago, the entire industry was like, we got to get more people into the market. Robinhood made it simple. Now I'm saying it's like, well, Robinhood traders ruined everything. You have to pick. And then on top of that, we're still dealing with trade wars and an election cycle where we don't know who the leader is going to be. That is a gumbo for disaster. So with those things mixed in a pot, the market is going to go up and down. People love the volatility on the upside, but hate it on the downside. It's a part of the game. Just like in Money Master, the game talks about it, you have seasons, summer, spring, winter, fall. It was beautiful and balmy outside for a long time. Everybody was happy about Apple and it split. And now, you know, you got to put a little jacket on. You know, you got to put on a little Carhartt if you're in New York and play the best of Bravehearts. It's up right now. You know, like, and then we're going to have a drop. But then this is the key point I want you to take away. When the market drops, you need to know where you want to buy. You need to know where you want to buy. This is why I tell you, do not buy the highs. We are still in a recession, technically. It's going to take a while for us to come out of it. And then the jobs that were lost here will not be recovered. Don't let those job numbers fool you. Go ask 20 people that you know if things are better for them now or they were 3 years ago. Because the data that's reported and the overall landscape are two different things. So once again, 1-5% is a pullback. That's normal. A correction is 10-19%. And a crash is 20%, and the economy is going down for 2 quarters in a row.
Appreciate you, Brave Money.
And yeah, there was a question that on the taxes, if you lose money, that can actually help too.
Right.
Because when you lose, you can actually take deduction off of that when you lose money. So a lot of times people at the end of the year, if they have a losing stock, then they'll just sell that and just take that loss to go against their earnings.
Yeah.
So if you lose money, that can actually help you on taxes because that's going to go against the earnings.
I think somebody asked us that. They were like, yo, what if I lose money? Is there capital gains? I'm like, well, there's no gain. So think of it like
it's
that.
It's a loss.
It's a loss.
You report it as a loss. So that's actually beneficial.
You need that every now and then.
In that scenario. So.
Yeah. What we got? Let's see.
Next week we'll go over charts so you guys can know what a high is. Because I saw a lot of you guys buying Apple at the all-time high and Tesla at the all-time high. I'm like, we went over this. But one of the things that I want to reinforce, because I brought up that point about being silent, I want you guys just to focus on your plan and turn off all the noise. Like if a house is worth 1.5, there's no reason to pay 2.2 in it unless there's cash in the closet. It's the same thing. I love Apple just as much as anyone. I'm not going to buy it at the all-time high. I'm not.
Know your strategy and stick to the script.
And it's interesting because, we're in a recession right now, but stock market is almost at all-time high. So usually that doesn't happen. Usually the last recession that we had, 2008, stock market crashed as well.
Yeah.
Stock market usually crashes during a recession.
They were saying on, I forget where I was, maybe the Wall Street Journal, this looks more like a K-curve. Right, where the economy is going one way and the stock market's going the other way.
They got a new letter every week.
I know. I was like, yo, I never heard of a K curve. Like, how'd that work? But I guess it made sense. Geraldine, what's going on? You have been unmuted. Unmute yourself.
Oh, that's the first one you got wrong. It's Geraldine.
Oh,
you broke the streak.
All right, Geraldine, my bad. What's going on?
I heard way worse than that, but I just had a question. This is my first time being on, and I'm
welcome. 27.
Thank you all for having me. Thank y'all for everything y'all doing. But I'm 27. I just opened up a Roth IRA a little over a month ago. So far, I've been able to put $3,000 into it, and I went back and I listened to episode 70, and I know that you guys spoke about the Franklin
legendary episode.
I know you guys spoke about the Franklin Technology Fund. I was trying to find it, and I wasn't able to find that one. But I just wanted some insight on where I should be going for long term from a Roth IRA.
Yeah, you talking about the Franklin Diamond Tech Fund, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think the symbol for Franklin Diamond Tech Fund is FKDNX. So that's the symbol for it if you're looking for it. Every brokerage might not have it because it's a mutual fund, but you can buy it directly from Franklin Templeton, a financial advisor, or I think Fidelity has it, or probably the big brokerage accounts have it. But that's the symbol for that fund that we spoke about on that episode. If you're interested in that, and then long-term Roth, me personally, I'll let Ian give his take on it. But Ian actually spoke about it on the episode as far as retirement, his strategy of tech and index. So you want to talk about that, Ian?
Yeah, and for those, I know y'all love ARKK. Y'all sleeping on the Dynatech. Shy being, humble about it, but when he said it, I was like, because if you look at what the year-over-year returns is, it's one of the safest, even with the fee of it being a mutual fund. I like index funds more because the expense ratios are lower, but if a mutual fund is getting me 25 and 10 every year, you got to draft it. But my personal strategy, I like half indexes and half tech. And I know a lot of people beat me up about it, but it's panned out well. We recorded our episode before COVID hit.
That's a fact. Panned out
pretty well. But if you start now at 27, man, I think you'd be elated just investing in indexes and then adding technology to it. Because of course, like the way I think you can beat the market is by investing into the market, the S&P 500 or Dow. And then if technology is getting you anywhere from 12 to 20%, if you pair the 10% with 12 to 20, depending on what company, it'll put you right above overperforming the S&P 500. But the one that he mentioned, a gem. So you guys go look at it, see what the expense ratio is. But most importantly, I need you to go look and see over the last 10 years, what kind of results has it given you? And then it can give you some insight of what you could get over the next 10 years. Okay. So indexes and tech are good.
Okay, I thank y'all so much for that. And Troy, I did meet y'all when y'all came to Atlanta last year. Y'all came here and did the meet and greet. I met you, we sit outside for a long time. I had a good conversation. So I think
wait, did you have the-
At the dealership.
The dealership, right? Y'all just about to say the dealership.
Yeah,
shout out to you. Yeah, man, I was like, yo, everybody got a business out here.
Yeah, definitely. I've been on the train for a while, and I just joined the EYL University. But thank y'all for everything y'all.
That's
doing.
A fact. I remember that conversation, man. Appreciate you.
Shout out to you.
You got a dealership at 27. You boom.
I'm trying. I'm trying.
Yo, that was last year. You probably got two or three of them now.
I'm trying. Man. Thank y'all.
All love, bro.
Thank you, bro.
That's crazy. That's we had like a whole hour conversation that night.
Shout out to Atlanta, man. They doing their thing out there.
Yeah, we were supposed to tape an episode after that. I was telling them that we had sat down with somebody really big in Atlanta. We had dinner at the Moroccan spot. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like, yeah, we gonna tape that tomorrow. I ain't gonna tell you today, Miz, though.
Yeah.
That was
that Diner Tech Fund fire. Y'all better give shot his flowers.
right now.
But that's the thing. I mean, I was like I said, I'm a big believer in, like, I feel like the problem with the internet and just, you know, everybody has their own personal agenda and everybody's like right or wrong, like buy term, don't buy whole life, buy whole life, don't buy term, buy index funds, don't buy mutual funds. I think there's pros and cons with everything. So it's like, yep. People say that they knock mutual funds because you pay a fee. But it's like the Diamond Tech Fund, yeah, you're paying a fee, but it's averaged 18% a year, something like that, for the last 10 years, net of fee. So it's like, are you averaging almost 20% a year? Like,
to do nothing.
Exactly. You're not doing nothing. They're managing. I mean, that's the fee. That's the reason why they're charging you a fee. So some mutual funds are bad, like all things, but some of them are actually good. So it's like, if they deserve a fee, if you're getting 18% for your
take the fee.
You might not know anything about investing at all. You just like, hey, just manage my money for me. So I think it's important. Go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, I'm saying same thing with Kathy. They're like, she charges too much. I'm like, look at her returns. You're getting a multi-billion-dollar investor to invest for you for pennies. Because, man, if we had that fund, it'd be like, yo, 50% expense ratio. Yeah. Like, her returns have been insane. So, and a lot of, like you said, people argue index versus mutual fund. It's better than doing nothing.
Exactly.
You have to do is put your money somewhere, allocate it. I know Dave Ramsey loves mutual funds. I like indexes more, but either way, it's better to do something than not. And then if you can go back, like you talked about in the episode, and look at since inception, they've been putting up numbers since the very beginning. Franklin Templeton is a strong company. You can't go wrong. So you guys should look at that tonight.
Yeah, shout out to everybody in the chat, man. They actually giving the links. I see somebody put the bar chart link up here for the fund. Shout out to y'all, man. Tamika, what's going on? You've been unmuted. Unmute yourself.
Good evening. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing great.
Good. How are you?
I have a question.
Tamika, can you just turn your volume down a little bit?
Yes, sure. Hold on.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Yep.
I just have a question about trading in your Roth. I haven't done that, so I'm just wondering, do the gains that you sell, like your gains, does that count against the limits for the Roth?
No, the limits is how much money you put in.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
But be very careful for those of you that are over traders. So if you have a very strict plan and you can add some gains, but be sure not to overtrade, because I've known some people that have had some good accounts and they turned them bad by trading too much inside of them.
That's
perfect.
Over trading.
All right, let's see. I got a new name here. Let's get Tamara. What's going on? Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
My question is, if you wanted to, I guess, protect your self in terms of like how this quadruple riching and stuff is coming up, how much farther do you think the drop is going to go into this period? And how do we identify bottom? Like, how do we know when it's hit the bottom and it's time to, it's coming back up?
That's the magical.
Yo, I wish somebody knew.
That's a $10 million question.
Ian, what indicators should we be looking at?
We've talked about it before. Inverted yield curve, and then also you have to be able to look at the charts. So for my technical traders, like let's say you use bands, whatever your highest time frame is, you should probably look 10 to 20% underneath there. Apple hit the top band or top of resistance, you should start to mark off 30% down from there. or if you guys use Fibonacci, that's why I hate that we didn't have a setup today, because I would have walked you guys through it. But the tough part about that, like, everyone knows all of the information, but it comes down to who will execute when the pressure is on. Because we saw it in March, everyone was afraid. Apple was at a perfect spot to buy in March. So was Microsoft. People waited because they're like, man, I don't know if the market is going to go further. I don't think it's necessary to identify bottoms all the time unless it's your profession. But I will tell you, we will probably be on a roller coaster until January. I will say that. In 3 years though, and you guys won't even remember this. The same thing happened last election, and I traded the entire night of the election. The world was going to fall apart if Hillary won. The world was going to fall apart because the emails are going to come out. If Trump got elected, the world's going to fall apart. Regardless, the Fed is going to do what they need to do to keep the market up, and then things will slowly start to turn around. But no economy is going to boom forever, and it's not going to stay in bust forever. This is just part of the cycle. We go up and down, up and down, up and down. But we'll go over it next week when we go through the charts. I'll give you the
support and resistance, all those things. We got to watch those things.
Nah, but yep. appreciate you. Shout out to everybody that tuned in tonight. Very impressive holding. Like I said, we had 3,800 people on YouTube. If you guys can like this video on YouTube, that greatly helps us. We appreciate it. Don't forget, Market Mondays is on all podcast audio outlets. If you missed any of this portion, of course, you can go back and watch on YouTube. You can also check it out on the audio, Apple, Spotify. So make sure you subscribe and you'll get turn on your notifications for that. And we are very humbled and appreciative of the support that we have gotten for Market Mondays. And we got some big guests that we're working on getting, and the future looks promising. So Ian, appreciate you again for putting on another stellar performance.
Yeah, show don't stop, man. Nothing stops us.
What would you like to say to the people?
I love you guys. I appreciate you all for the support. For those of you that are brand new and you are terrified, or you even listen like, I don't know what the hell y'all are talking about. One book you can reference is Money Master the Game. And then to make it very easy, just buy index funds. You'll get exposure to all the top companies. And this is the great part. They don't have the volatility in them that some of the other companies do that have went up 20% and then fallen 30%. So if you're older and you want safety, just invest in indexes. You're good. For my traders, the most important thing I want you to do for the rest of this year is map out how many trades you're going to take on the year. And lastly, as I always say, go check on somebody you love, because man, 2020 has been a crazy year. We do not know what's going to happen. So check on people that you love and don't take them for granted. And then once again, thank you all for believing in the vision, rocking, being solid. And thank you for like the personal talks, because you guys have like coached me through a lot of this stuff too and how to navigate certain things. So I appreciate it. And then, you know, the future is bright.
That's a fact. I'll say that.
Real quick. I know it is September and tomorrow marks the start of school for a lot of my people in the educational field. So I just want to wish you a blessed year. It is going to be a trying year, but I just let you know that, you know, I'm here for you. I am you. I support you. And God bless, because it's going to be a crazy year. This is the first September since I was 5 that like September didn't mean going back to a school. So it's a new venture for me. Shadi going to say his goal has been reached. He told me he's going to get me out of school. So finally, this is the first time. So I just want to let you know, everybody in education, my thoughts are with you. Our kids are the number one priority. So let's make sure that we can help them out. So if there's a school that is near you, I implore you, I encourage you to see what you can do to help, whether it's sponsoring some kids to get supplies for their schools or sponsoring teachers and getting supplies to them, because distance learning is distant, right? So if we don't have resources and if kids don't have resources and they don't have access to getting them, this becomes even more of a dangerous situation. So I implore you to do that, encourage you. I love y'all.
Yeah, and next week is a big show. Big show. We got a lot planned for next week. So make sure you chap in early next week and tell a friend to tell a friend, spread the word. We appreciate you guys. And yeah, we'll see you. We'll see you tomorrow on our latest 99. We almost had 100.
99.
Damn. Next week is 100, our 100th episode for Earn Your Leisure. So that's crazy. Time flies, man. Time flies.
Y'all made history.
Crazy. Crazy.
We are. This is history. We're making history right now. Right?
Yeah,
this is history.
Fact.
This is history. So
I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here. You guys made a dream of mine come true. So let's keep it rocking. Let's keep it rocking. Yeah, and then next week we'll go through charts heavy. So I think it'll be very important for everyone to at least have some kind of idea to know when we're at the top, so they're not guessing, and also at the bottom. So that's gonna be fun as well. But man, once again, thank y'all from the bottom of my heart. Y'all two of the most solid dudes. We ain't even had like a chance to like kick it much.
I know.
That's the crazy part.
Yeah.
We only met one time.
Technology is so crazy. We only met each other one time for a couple of hours when you did the podcast. And that's just the beauty of technology. Yeah. It feels like we know each other, like we've seen each other every single day.
Yeah.
Because we speak all the time. We Zoom every week.
We talk every day.
Yeah, we only actually physically seen Ian one time.
You know what he was? You know what, Ian? You were the first one who came bearing a gift. And I was like, yo, this dude's special, man.
Yeah, that was dope.
My grandmother was like, don't go to somebody's house empty-handed. And then also, too, like, I understood, and like, for context, like, I've been on other podcasts, probably 40. Them 40 together didn't do a 19. So I'm like, the least, because when I heard Trap's episode, I told you, like, Trap, like, loaded luck. So when I listened to it, I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna say. He took the Utma thing from me. I'm like, let me throw in a suit and pray. And then COVID happened, and then it's like the long-term investing thing panned out with the futures. But I mean, I was honored that you shared your platform with me because you didn't have to at all. So, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. And then when we meet up in later this month, I got to come with some more gifts too. So. I appreciate it. But business owners, it's a good thing. It's a good gem. Most people don't do it. Thank you cards and any kind of gifts. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be like a Rolly or nothing like that. We'll get there one day. But bringing gifts to people that allow you on platforms that you do business with, even prospects that even tell you no, trust me, goes a long way. Goes a long way.
Yeah, you definitely brought that cologne. It was the...
Was it Mark Jacob? No.
Tom Ford.
Tom Ford.
It was a Tom Ford cologne.
Yeah, I think we went out to let next week. I was like, damn, you wearing it?
No, I wear that. That's my fan. It's
crazy. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm wearing
perfect,
it too now.
It's perfect travel size. So that was that was a very classy gift of you.
Fellas, if you're trying to make them swoon.
Hey, yo, you got the footage of our episode, man. We gotta see that with your actual guy recorded it.
All right, I'm gonna send it.
All right, bro. Man. Be blessed.
All right, man.
We'll see you at 9 tomorrow morning.
I know, right? Right and early. Peace.
All right, bro. Yo, you too. We love you. Ernest, we love y'all. Peace.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.